Okay, let's unpack this. Have you ever been there? You know,
Yeah.
you're in a conversation, it's going okay, maybe even great, and then bam, just silence. That sudden, like, deafening quiet. Neither of you knows what to say next, and you can just feel the pressure mounting, right? Those seconds just drag on. It's that kind of universal dread, isn't it? The awkward silence. We've all felt it, and honestly, it can really just kill a potentially good connection. Well, today we're doing a deep dive that's basically designed as a shortcut, a way to, you know, not just dodge those conversational minds, but to actually thrive in talking with people. Our mission here is to give you some practical, pretty powerful tools to navigate conversations, get past that polite surface stuff, and genuinely, well, endear yourself to others. Think of it like, I guess, boosting your personal magnetism, one real connection at a time, moving from just, you know, small talk to something memorable.
Yeah, and what's really fascinating, I think, is how these topics we're going to cover, they seem simple on the surface, right? But they're actually like universal keys to unlocking a deeper connection. Our source material for this dive is called Topics to Endear Others and Keep a Conversation Going. It doesn't just throw ideas at you. It lays out this clear framework, four key topics. And it's less about strict rules, more about understanding the psychology behind connection, how we connect, and, you know, how to consciously encourage that.
Exactly. So by the time we finish up this deep dive, the idea is you won't just have a list of what to talk about. Hopefully you'll get a real feel for how to naturally weave these topics into, well, pretty much any chat you have, turning those casual encounters into, you know, actual meaningful dialogues. Imagine feeling like confident, engaging, and really connecting with the people you meet, leaving them feeling, I don't know, warmth, understanding. That's really the goal here. Okay, so let's dive into the first one, our foundational topic, family. Now you might be thinking, okay, obvious, but hang on, there's a bit more to it. Every single one of us, right, has a family in some shape or form, and whether that's the family we grew up in, or the family we've kind of chosen, or just people who've shaped us, they've often had like the biggest impact on our lives. So talking about family, if you do it right, can create this immediate sense of closeness.
Absolutely. And a key point from the source is exactly that. It says, when we talk about our families with other people, we feel closer to them, even with someone who was a total stranger like 5 minutes ago. But, and this is crucial, it's not a green light to just start firing off personal questions. Mm. The source really stresses this. It only works if you bring family up smoothly. Naturally, it can't feel forced, you know, like you're reading off a checklist or trying to dig up dirt. It's got to be about sharing, not extracting information.
Right. Yeah. Nobody wants that interrogation vibe. Definitely made that mistake myself before. So, okay, what's a good way then? How do you bring up something so personal without, you know, making it weird?
Well, one really effective way the source suggests is what it calls bringing your own family into it first. It's like a gentle offering. So say you're talking to someone and they mentioned they went to the same university as your brother. You could just casually say, oh, really? My brother actually went to university name two, finished a few years back. See? And then it feels totally natural to just pivot slightly and ask, do you have any siblings? Mm-hmm. You've shared something first, which kind of makes it safer for them. It builds a little bridge instead of just jumping straight across.
That makes total sense. You open the door with your own stuff first. Okay, but then there's this other technique the source mentions, which sounds kind of interesting, the non sequitur assumption. It almost sounds like getting it wrong could be good.
Mm.
How does misreading someone slightly actually help the conversation?
Yeah, it does sound a bit counterintuitive, doesn't it? But it taps into something really interesting about, well, how we interact. A non sequitur, just to be clear, is like an observation that doesn't perfectly follow the last thing said. Here it means making a very gentle, sort of low-stakes guess about the other person related to their family. So, for example, maybe based on how they talk or their energy, you might say something like, you know, you kind of seem like someone who grew up in a really big family.
Mm.
Now, here's the clever part. It has this dual benefit. If you happen to be right, they're often genuinely curious. Oh, wow, why do you say that? And boom, they start talking. But if you're wrong, and this is the key bit, they'll almost always gently correct you, right? And then they usually feel this little urge to explain their actual family situation. So either way, they end up sharing often in more detail because you've shown you're like paying attention and you're willing to engage even if you guessed wrong. It's a low-risk way to invite a bit more openness. Turns a potential miss into potentially a nice bonding moment. Feels less like an interview question, more like you're just intrigued.
Huh. I can see that. It kind of reframes being wrong as just an invitation to share more, like a gentle nudge. That's really clever. Okay, so moving from those deep roots of family, let's shift gears to something that takes up, well, a huge chunk of our lives, occupation, you know, our jobs or studies or maybe both. It takes up, what, almost half our waking hours. It's often the first thing we ask someone new. And yet, ironically, this is often where conversations just stall out, right? Hit a dead end.
Oh, absolutely. That's the classic trap. And the source really nails this, identifying what it calls the interview style conversation. We've all been there, haven't we? You ask, so what do you do? They say, oh, I'm a barista. You ask, oh, where do you work? Coffee bean. Maybe one or two more quick questions like that, quick answers, and then crickets. You basically run out of script. The conversation just sort of dies, and everyone feels a bit, well, awkward. It's not really a chat. It's just exchanging data points.
Ugh, that interview trap. It's so easy to fall into. So how do we escape that, that awkward back and forth? What does the source say is the, like, the smart way around it?
The key, the source argues, is you need to inject comments, your own observations, maybe personal connections, in between the questions. And crucially, you need to start asking more open-ended questions. Shift to focus. Instead of just the what and where, you got to move towards the why and the how. It's not just about getting facts. It's about inviting them to tell a bit of a story.
Right. That shift from just asking questions to showing actual curiosity. That feels huge. Can you maybe give us a concrete example using that barista scenario again?
Sure. Yeah. Let's go back to the barista. So instead of just what do you do where after she says she's a barista, you could maybe jump in with something like, oh, wow, I'm actually a huge fan of a really good macchiato. It feels like there's a real art to getting it right, you know?
Okay. Shows you get it a bit.
Exactly. It shows interest, maybe shared appreciation. Then you could follow up with something more open, like, what's the most, I don't know, unexpected thing you enjoy about your work?
Yeah.
Or maybe, what's one thing you wish people kind of understood about making coffee? These aren't just fact-finding. They invite opinions, feelings, a bit of their perspective. And hey, even if someone isn't like super passionate about their job, you can still go deeper. Instead of why do you love it? Hey, maybe try, what kind of led you down this path, or what's been the biggest learning curve for you? Shows respect for their journey, not just their job title.
I love that. It really is about moving from just, you know, ticking boxes to genuine curiosity, understanding their world a bit. It definitely defuses that awkward interview silence. And speaking of genuine curiosity, that brings us nicely to topic number three, recreation. This is all about unlocking passions, right? Pretty much everyone has something they're passionate about, something they just love doing in their free time. And, well, usually if someone loves doing something, they probably enjoy talking about it too. Discussing hobbies and passions, it's a great chance to share excitement, maybe knowledge. It's such fertile ground for conversation.
Yeah, and what's interesting here is that the source points out that even a pretty standard question works fine to start. Something like, so what do you like to do for fun, or got any hobbies? You don't necessarily need some super clever, unique opening line for this one.
Yeah.
The really crucial part, though, isn't the opener. It's the follow-up. That's where the magic happens, or doesn't.
Right. It's what happens after they tell you their hobby. You've got to actually ask more about it, show you're genuinely interested. That's how you build rapport. It makes them feel heard, you know, validates their thing. Now, if you happen to share the interest, great. Easy street, right? Conversation flows. But what about when, and this happens all the time, you know literally nothing about what they do, say competitive cheese rolling or something. How do you show real interest without just faking it?
That's a super common scenario. And it's where people can get stuck. But instead of seeing it as a problem, try framing it as just like a cool opportunity, a chance to learn something totally new. Clearly, this thing brings them joy, right? So your job is just to figure out why. What's the appeal? So let's say they enjoy writing. Don't just nod and say, oh, nice. Ask things like, wow, what is it about writing that really draws you in? Or what's your process like? How do you get ideas? Or maybe, how did you even start doing that? What's the hardest part about, you know, finishing something? Or even, what do most people misunderstand about writing? The trick is to actually want to understand their world, their experience, even if the activity itself isn't your cup of tea. Your curiosity connects you.
I remember trying this once. Someone told me they were into like extreme ironing, totally bizarre to me. But I just asked, okay, what's the actual thrill? Like, what's the best moment? And suddenly they lit up. Their passion kind of became infectious, and we had this amazing chat. It really does come down to that genuine interest. All right, so we've covered family, work, fun. Now we get to what the source calls the best for last. Topic four, dreams. This is framed as potentially the most powerful topic for conversation, and there's a really deep reason why. Pretty much everyone has some kind of dream, right? Something they're chasing, or maybe just wish they could chase. But often, one of the biggest hurdles is just not feeling supported. Our source puts it really powerfully. Most of us are encouraged to play it safe, get a 9-to-5 job, save for retirement, and live life just like everyone else. So if you can be that person who genuinely shows support for someone's big, maybe scary, maybe unconventional dream, that leaves a massive positive impression. It really sticks with people.
It really does. Mm-hmm. But there's a big but here, isn't there? If you think about the overall flow, this topic, while super powerful, needs groundwork. Rushing into asking about someone's deepest dreams before you've built any real connection, any rapport, that can seriously backfire.
Right.
Yeah, it's not really a first date kind of question, you know? You need that foundation point. Maybe you've connected over family, understood their work journey a bit, shared some fun recreational chat. Without that shared understanding, asking about dreams might just get you a vague answer or feel intrusive. Any support you offer might ring hollow. Because, well, you're still basically strangers. It's all about creating that feeling of safety first, so they feel okay sharing something so personal, so vulnerable.
That's such a critical point. Okay, so assuming you have built that rapport, how do you then naturally guide the conversation towards these bigger dreams without it feeling, you know, sudden or forced? The source gives a couple of really neat ways in. The first one builds directly off that recreation topic we just discussed.
Exactly. So let's go back to the painting example. Someone mentions they love painting in their spare time. Instead of just stopping at, oh, that's cool, you could make a gentle, educated kind of guess about a related dream. You might ask, wow, that's amazing. Have you ever thought about, like, having your own gallery someday or putting on shows? Or maybe, do you ever dream about doing that full time? Now, even if your guess is a bit off, right, that open-ended question gives them the perfect opening. They can easily correct you. Oh, not really a gallery, but I have always dreamed of illustrating children's books. And boom. They're sharing their actual dream. It's like you've just gently opened the door for them.
I like that it's a soft invitation. Okay, and what about the second method, if maybe the link from their hobby isn't quite so obvious?
The second approach is about talking about the bigger picture. This lets you kind of ease into conversations about life purpose, meaning making an impact, that sort of thing. The trick here is finding a natural entry point, something that doesn't sound like a cheesy motivational poster. For example, maybe you mention a book you're reading, something thought-provoking, maybe an old classic. You could reflect on how, you know, even though the author's long gone, their work is still out there, still affecting people, sparking ideas across generations. That kind of reflection can naturally lead into a broader chat about legacy, about impact. And from there, it feels much more organic to ask, so what about you? What kind of mark do you hope to make? Or what do you really want to do with your life?
Yeah.
It's a subtle shift, but it can open up that space for them to share their own bigger visions.
Wow. Yeah, that's a really elegant way to move from just chatting to something quite profound. Okay, so bringing this all together, these four topics, family, occupation, recreation, and dreams. They work so well because, as the source really highlights, they're universal, aren't they? Everyone can relate to them on some level. And when you explore them thoughtfully with genuine interest, they really do bring you closer to the person you're talking to. Mm-hmm. By consciously using these, you're not just sidestepping those awkward silences or boring surface chats. You're actively building something deeper, more meaningful connections, and you end up leaving a much more positive, memorable impression. You're basically filling that potential silence with real understanding.
Exactly. And the best part, I think, is that this isn't about learning lines or following some rigid script. It really just comes down to practice. The more you consciously try to use these topics, try out these techniques, you know, asking those why and how questions, making those gentle assumptions, really listening for the passion, the better you'll get at it. You'll start weaving them into conversations naturally, guiding things towards more meaningful places without even thinking too hard about it. It's like developing, I don't know, a kind of fluency in connection, a skill that just gets stronger the more you use it.
So what does all this mean for you listening right now? Well, maybe think about it this way. In a world where sometimes real connection feels a bit scarce, where maybe we default to easy, shallow chats, how might consciously choosing to explore these four simple but actually quite profound topics change things? Not just your one-on-one interactions, but maybe even the whole feel of your relationships, your sense of community. It's definitely something to chew on. A little challenge, maybe, to engage just a bit more deeply. And potentially a path to much richer, much more vibrant connections with the people around you.